When the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are the meek," in His Sermon on the Mount and as part of the Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus Christ shows that He draws His doctrine from the sacred Scripture. The Lord did not come to destroy the Law and the Prophets, but to fulfill them, as He Himself says later on in His sermon. In that description of the blessed citizens of the kingdom of heaven as meek, the Lord Jesus Christ shows as well that His doctrine of the kingdom, drawn from the sacred Scriptures and therefore from the truth of God, is antithetical to the kingdom doctrine of the church and the leaders of the church of His day. In the church of Jesus' day, and among the leaders of the church of Jesus' day, everyone wanted to be like the Pharisees. Those Pharisees, by their behavior and by their doctrine, revealed their kingdom doctrine. The Pharisees desired the chief seats at the feasts, and they desired praise and greetings in the marketplace. And for a pretense, they made long prayers. In that, their kingdom doctrine came out very clearly. Their doctrine of the kingdom is that the bold and the beautiful are blessed, and that the lowly are despised. If you were somebody, the Pharisees had a place for you in the kingdom. If you were a believer, they had no use for you in the kingdom. The Lord's doctrine is very different. It is a doctrine of the kingdom that is derived from Scripture. When the Lord said, Blessed are the meek, He said nothing different than the typical king of the kingdom of God, David, said about those who were blessed in his kingdom. He said nothing different from what the Law and the Prophets said everywhere about the kingdom of God. And it's now when the reality and the King whom God had all had promised had come. It is now the truth about His kingdom. Blessed are the meek. That kingdom doctrine is also antithetical to the kingdom doctrine and philosophies of our day. It's, of course, very different from the kingdom doctrine of the corporate world and of the business schools and of the political science departments and of the political field of the day. There, the kingdom philosophy is that it's a dog-eat-dog world. A man and a woman, too, has to rise up and take what is his, claw his way to the top. Meekness has no place there. But it is also antithetical to what passes for kingdom doctrine in the church world and among those who call themselves Christian. That kingdom doctrine makes the kingdom of God virtually equivalent to creating a dominant Christian culture, or at the very least, a dominant subculture of Christianity. And that kingdom doctrine that passes itself off as a kingdom doctrine is interested then in bringing that kingdom, in winning elections, national, state, or local elections, changing laws, lobbying and writing letters, and winning court cases before the judgment seat of the 9 men and women in black. To bring the kingdom, they say, that is what a Christian must do. To be involved in the kingdom and to be an active citizen in the kingdom, that is what a Christian must do. And if one is simply the meek, they have no use in their kingdom for those citizens. How different is the Lord Blessed are the meek. They say you'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything. You are simply meek. You certainly won't bring the kingdom. Very different is the Lord. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's consider then this morning these blessed meek who inherit the earth. Let us see, first of all, who they are. Let us see, secondly, why they are so. And let us notice, finally, their blessedness. Blessed meek. Who are they? Meekness, of course, is lowliness. The word itself is very easy to define. Anyone who is interested in the definition of meekness can turn to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, open it up to the M's, and find meekness, and there find defined the word meekness. And to, of course, anyone who wants to claim to be a Christian and to act and behave in the name of Christianity must, of course, claim meekness. Jesus said that the citizens of His kingdom are meek, and therefore if a man is not meek, Jesus sets him outside of the kingdom of heaven. And since the meek will inherit the earth, if we desire to inherit the earth, then we should be interested, above all, in understanding who are these blessed meek. For not every man shall inherit the earth, but the meek. The meek only shall inherit the earth. And many, of course, have a definition of meekness. They define meekness in terms of a kind of vague lowliness. But behind that vague definition of meekness lurks a host of sin. Some even use that vague description of lowliness to cast out of the kingdom those whom they do not suppose to be meek. You are proud, they say, because you teach that what you believe is the truth. You are proud, they say, because you teach that what you teach must be believed as the truth. You are proud, they say, because you would dare to cast out of your church somebody who says he's a Christian but maintains doctrinal practices that do not agree with the Christian faith. And that means, too, I'm not meek, and therefore I stand outside of the kingdom of heaven. So that vague lowliness is a very corrupt definition of meekness. And behind it lurks all kinds of sin. Behooves us then to ask, who are the meek? Whatever else you say about the meek, you have to say this, they are also those who are poor in spirit and who mourn deeply for their sin. Whatever else you say about the meek, you have to say that they are also the pure in heart. That they are those that are merciful, that they are the peacemakers, and they are those who also suffer for righteousness' sake. That is, the meek are not a category among the various citizens of the kingdom of heaven, so that the kingdom of heaven has different kinds of citizens, and among those citizens are the meek too. Rather, the blessed citizens of the kingdom of heaven who are poor in spirit, who mourn, they also are meek. Meekness belongs to their spiritual characteristics. And I know, too, in our seeking after a definition of who the meek are, we can talk about the fruits of meekness and what meekness does, but the Lord here speaks of meekness completely unadorned. It is meekness in its raw form. What is meekness? At its spiritual heart and essence. David defines what meekness is in Psalm 37. So important is meekness that the Lord didn't leave us without a definition of meekness. In Psalm 37, when Psalm 37 exhorts the believer to patience over against the earthly success of the wicked, so that the believer does not imitate the wicked and descend into the ways of the wicked, then the psalm exhorts the believer to this: wait patiently and rest in Jehovah. Rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for Him. That's verse 7. In verse 11, He calls those people the meek. The meek. Those that rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for Him, they shall inherit the earth. Those that rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for Him are the meek. And that too is their meekness at its spiritual heart. Meekness is the spiritual virtue of the man or woman or child who rests in Jehovah and who waits patiently for Him. They don't rest in themselves. They don't rest in their abilities or their strengths or their situation in life. They don't rest in circumstances. They don't rest in another man. They rest in Jehovah. And resting in Him, they also then wait patiently for Him. They endure whatsoever Jehovah sends to them as from His hand, without rebellion and without turning to and descending into the wicked tricks and devices of the ungodly who succeed in the world by those wicked ways. You have to say then about the meek who rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for Him, that is the spiritual virtue according to which the man, woman, or child judges himself to be nothing before Jehovah. If he is poor in spirit, and if he mourns for his sin, then that means that in his own judgment, before Jehovah, he is nothing. And he does that before Jehovah. He doesn't merely say, does the meek before men, oh, I'm meek, I'm nothing. He doesn't merely say to himself, I am nothing. He says, in the presence of God, I am nothing. And he does that because the meek man considers God. That's what the proud man will never do. He doesn't consider God. He exalts himself over God. He contradicts God. He fights against God and hates Him. The meek man considers God. He considers the spotless holiness of God. He considers the perfect righteousness of God. He says, I have no righteousness or holiness that will stand in the sight of that great God. Therefore, in the sight of that God, he says, I am nothing. In saying he's nothing, then he too rests in God for his righteousness and for his holiness. The meekness of a man simply follows from the fact of the knowledge of his deep spiritual poverty. Follows from the fact of the mourning over his own sin and his own wretchedness. The meek man says before God, I deserve nothing on account of my sin and my lack of righteousness except damnation from this God. There's nothing so proud then. There's nothing so wickedly proud. Even though a man may cover that with a very outwardly pleasing and lowly demeanor, to say that I deserve from God, that's antithetical that is at the root of all spiritual pride. I deserve from God. What was the root of the spiritual pride of the Pharisees? You see that. Desiring and fighting for and clawing their way for the chief seats in the marketplace and at the feasts. Shaking hands in the marketplace and kissing babies like a politician to make sure that they showed how important they were. Where did that come from? That they would behave such toward men. Because they would behave that way toward God. They would say to God, who is of a spotless holiness and a perfect righteousness, I deserve, on account of my deeds, the reward of righteousness. That's the root. Spiritual pride. It's a doctrine of works righteousness, of merit with God, of reward based on a man's work and what a man does. And not any different. Perhaps more dangerous because of its subtlety is the works righteousness of the Arminian. The Arminian who can, in a very lowly way, appearing oh so humble, say, oh, I believe the grace of God. Oh, I believe that my salvation depends on the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ died. Christ covered sins. But you must also believe. The Arminian's work, on the ground of which he demands from God salvation, is his faith. He has faith in his faith. I accepted Jesus into my heart. That's why I'm going to be saved. That's no different than the proud doctrine of works righteousness of the Pharisee. The meek says, I'm nothing in the sight of God. I have nothing in myself that's of any value, that's of any worth to God, or deserves anything from God. And the meek considers this too. He considers the great grace and the mercy of that God who has compassion on such a wretch as he is. And who provides for that one who has no righteousness and no worth in himself a perfect righteousness, and imputes it to him freely without any works, by faith only. And that meek man too then, that meek man who is nothing in the sight of God, that meek man also then is wholly subject to the will of God. That belongs to meekness. That the man who says, I am nothing now, not merely in the sight of men, but in the sight of God, that meek man also says, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? He's utterly subject to God. Here you come to the virtual, spiritual heart of meekness. You want to see and understand what meekness is. I could show it to you. I can show it to you not by showing you Moses, about whom the Bible said he was the meekest of all men. I can show it to you not by showing you Sarah, who was the example of meekness to all godly women because she had adorned herself with a meek and a quiet spirit and called her husband Lord. But I can show it to you in the Garden of Gethsemane. There in the midst of the garden was meekness. There was the man who was the meekest of all. On the one hand, you have to say about that man, he wasn't merely a man. He said there in the garden, I am. And they all fell backwards, worshipped him. He said there in the garden to Peter, If I so please, I can call upon my Heavenly Father. He sent me legions of angels. And He warned there in the garden against the spiritual idea that the kingdom of God comes by the sword. Peter, put up your sword. For those who take the sword will perish with the sword. He eschewed all earthly power. He warned His disciples and the whole church, bringing the kingdom by earthly means. There in the garden too was the antithesis of meekness. Peter himself. Peter who said, though all men deny thee, I will not deny thee. Peter, who in his proud boasting wanted to bring the kingdom by a sword so that he was going to take off the head of the high priest's servant Malchus. Peter, who finally showed his spiritual pride when the Lord there, being bound in pride before the high priest, was utterly ashamed of him, denied him three times because of his meekness. He said that about himself, not, I am great and powerful, though he was. But he said to his church, I am meek and lowly. He allowed himself to be bound, to be tried of men. He allowed himself to be beaten, to be mocked and to be scourged. He allowed himself to be condemned, and he allowed himself to be hung on the tree. That's what offended Peter. That's what offended them all. That they ran from him, were ashamed of him, and denied him. They knew all his power. And they knew too that he allowed that. And why? Why did he allow that? Listen to that meek and lowly one there in the garden as he becomes a worm and no man in his agony on the ground. On the one hand, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The meek are not unfeeling stoics. The meek receive because they know God and they stand in the presence of God and they consider God. They receive everything in their life as it were from the hand of God. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There is meekness. There is virtually the entire Christian faith and the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven summed up. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Because God is everything. Because I am nothing. And that meekness is unmistakable. A man, you say, says that. As Jesus said that. In the inner sanctuary. In his heart. His conscience, before the presence of God, in the courtroom of God. But that meekness shows itself. With unmistakable and obvious signs. On the one hand, shows itself in a certain attitude about the life that we live in this world, that meek man, because God is everything and he is nothing. That meek man, because he is utterly dependent upon God, that meek man lives in the world consciously dependent upon God from moment to moment. There's nothing so antithetical to meekness than this attitude. I will go and I will buy and sell and I will get gain. And he says not, if the Lord will, I'll live. And do this or that. His very life is consciously lived, moment to moment, in the hand of God. And that meek man, too, shows himself in relationship to his fellow man. He's better than I am. He doesn't cover over all of the warts of his fellow man. He knows man. He knows man because he knows himself, but he says he's a better wretch than I am. I'm a wretch too, but he's a better one. And over against that man, his fellow man, he doesn't envy him for his successes, nor does he imitate him in his sins. If that man strikes him, he turns the other cheek. You can only do that if you're nothing. If someone punches you in the face and you're something, then you may respond. You may punch him back for you're something. But if you're nothing, then you can only turn the other cheek. That's a meek man. If a man has something, he will receive nothing from his fellow man. If a man is nothing before God, then he becomes nothing also in relationship to man. It shows itself. Does this meekness in utter fearless courage for the name of God? That meekness is not a kind of feigned, superficial, lowly demeanor. There are those that have themselves appear meek, but they themselves are proud, and they show it. There's an unmistakable sign, too, of pride. And its root is this. He will speak a lie about God, about the truth, or about the Word of God. That is unbelievable pride. The meek man, being nothing before God, will allow his entire name, his reputation, all his goods and substance, even his own life, to be lost for the sake of God's name. He will never allow God's name to be struck, to be denied, to be dragged down into the mud. That's a very proud man who would let someone assault God and do nothing to save his skin. Who won't engage controversy for the truth because he won't sully his own hands or his own reputation. That's selfish. That's pride. Meek Moses, who was the meekest of all, smashed the tables, stone on the ground, and demanded that every man strap his sword on, kill his brother. There's meekness. Proud men will never do that. They'll never allow their name to be dragged into and alongside of the name of God. And that meekness, a man who is meek, fights, becomes the object of, too, the scorn of the world. That's why he says here, they'll persecute you Say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Blessed are the meek. Those who rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Why are they so? Not of themselves. Man isn't meek. No man is meek. You and I are not meek by nature. Meekness is the antithesis of what man is. And that's because the root of all sin, not now merely the root of sin in man's heart, but the root of sin, all sin, the source of it all, long, long ago, not on the earth either, but in heaven, was a lack of meekness by a citizen of heaven. And in that lack of meekness, that citizen of heaven lifted himself up in pride. And he drew away the hosts of heaven. And he came down to the earth and he assaulted man and took man into his spiritual pride to the root of all sin. His pride. Pride in Satan. And pride in Satan as Satan took man onto his side and infected man with that vile disease. So that man is shot through and wholly controlled by the sin of pride. Man's philosophy is this: you have to howl like a wolf because the wolves will devour anybody who makes himself a sheep. He does that over against his fellow man. Man will not become nothing over against man. Man hates his fellow man. He hates him and he loves himself. Man hates the meek one too. Man sees the meek. And man says we can take him. We can kill him. We can push ourselves up a little higher. Man is that over against God. Man is in the lack of meekness over against his fellow man. He's in the lack of meekness over against God. He will not become nothing before God. He won't say, I have no righteousness. He won't say, I have nothing of value to commend myself to God. He certainly will never say, the natural man would rather perish than to say, not mine, but thy will be done. The natural man has been denying that since the Garden of Eden, when he said, my will and not God's. And that's the nature, too, of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That is why, as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are the meek, the citizen of the kingdom of heaven says, and Lord, forgive all my pride. Forgive and teach me. Teach me to learn from the meek and the lowly one. The meek are blessed with that astounding and heavenly virtue that is utterly foreign to themselves by nature. The meek are blessed with that because they are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That meekness is not the quality on account of which God makes them citizens, but because God makes them citizens of the kingdom of heaven, He also makes them meek. He breaks their pride by the power of His Spirit. He enthrones in their hearts, instead of their own selves, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of that Spirit and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, He sets them consciously before the throne of God. He causes them to confess. their utter lack of works and of righteousness and of value. He grants them the mind, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's part of our coming to the table of the Lord this morning. Part of our understanding the blessedness of the meek. That we come to the table of the Lord, the table of the meek and the lowly one, to be strengthened by Him in that heavenly virtue. To have all our sin of pride, self-seeking, self-aggrandizement forgiven. To have that pride that dwells in our hearts and will for the remainder of our life beat down, crucified. To have our spirit that He puts within us as meek and lowly, strengthened. That we may be more like Him. That's the power of the cross of the meek and the lowly one. That's the power of the Spirit of the meek and the lowly one. That's the power of the sign of the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that He actually makes His people meek and lowly. The coming of the kingdom is not the ability of the church to put the name Jesus on coffee mugs and t-shirts. What a wretched coming of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom is this, that those who are by nature damnably proud and would perish so rather than say, "Thy will be done," have their hearts broken so that they say, "I'm nothing before God. Lord, fill me with Thy righteousness." That's the coming of the kingdom. And it's those meek who are so by the grace of God, to which God also promises, crowning His work of grace with more grace, the inheritance of the earth. You see how antithetical this is, the kingdom, to the church world and to the world? Carpe diem, they say. Seize the day. Rise up. Take what's yours. That doesn't savor of the kingdom of heaven. The meek man says, "The Lord will give me the earth. He appointed it to me." That's why He waits patiently. That's why He can suffer the loss of all things. The Lord will give him the earth, and the Lord gives him an earnest of it. Not in a big pile of gold now, but the Lord gives him an earnest of that inheritance by His Spirit, so that he may live before God with his sins forgiven in a clean and quiet conscience. So he may live in the earth and enjoy the fruits of the earth such as God gives him with a clean and quiet conscience. So that he may with patience suffer the loss of all those things. Because meekness in the end despises the earth. Looks forward to heaven. That's where our inheritance is. Not this sin-cursed creation, but a glorious new heaven and new earth, where righteousness and peace dwell. The meek have very little peace on this earth. They will have perfect peace in heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Now feed our hungry and thirsty souls at Thy table. We beseech Thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.